to Mark, Gospel of Mark, and chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We are all on a journey. And we do two journeys at the same time. We do a physical journey, and then we do a spiritual journey. And we always do two things at the same time. There's always a physical side, and then there's the spiritual side. And we sometimes we think, oh, it's only what we can see and what we can touch, and so on, that counts. No, there's a lot more to that. We're all on a spiritual journey as well. Our physical journey starts when we're born. And then it ends when our body dies. And somebody said, when you go to the cemetery and look at the headstones, you'll see the date the person was born and the date that they died. And the hyphen is their life. That short little hyphen, that's their life. And so that's a short little span, isn't it? And so it would be foolish to dedicate that little hyphen only to the flesh and to material things that pass away that won't have any fruit in heaven. So while we're on this journey, we also need to think of where we want to end in life. What do I want to have accomplished when I get to the end of my life? And so we're on that journey too. It's a journey of purpose. And so when we're on, and any journey has some events that take place all through the journey. And some are good and some are not so good. But that doesn't matter. We're still on a journey. You cannot stop and say, well, I'm fed up with this. No, even if you're fed up, you're still on the road. Even if you're tired of this whole thing, you're still on the road. And you do two journeys at the same time. And you can say, well, I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. And, you know, it's the church and I have to read the Bible and I have to pray and all of that. You're busy filling in that hyphen. That's what you're doing. And so it's something that we should take serious. I think about this often, that I want to live a life that will leave something for the generations that come after me. And so I try to establish things, spiritual things, that can impact people and get them to change their thinking, change their lifestyles, change what they're dedicated to, so that their lives will mean something. And we all are in the same journey. And you know that everything we do and everything we say impacts not only our own journey, but that of those that are close to us. And how we do things, all of that contributes to that little hyphen that's between the date we're born and the day that we die. Now, here's another journey that the disciples went on. And this is often how our journeys go. Here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So there's a little journey there. They're moving from this place to that place. And sometimes it seems like just an ordinary, mundane thing, but extraordinary things can happen, even though it's just a short journey. Maybe we look at that little boat ride across the lake as a short journey, like a hyphen. But something very interesting happened there. But the fact is, they started the journey there, across the lake or across the sea. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and trouble begins. The journey is changing. Trouble is showing up. Now, if you have lived long enough, you probably know that in life you will have trouble. There'll be all kinds of issues that come against you. And much of what happens in life is for you to change your destination. It's for you to have second thoughts about where you're going. It's for you to rethink the journey that you're on. And hopefully, when the enemy moves against you, he hopes that you will get so tired of all the resistance and all the problems and all the opinions of people and things that people say and the scoffing and all of that because you're Christian, that you will change your mind and turn your back on that. And unfortunately, a lot of people do. They focus all their energy, they focus all their time and everything they have to live life in the flesh as well as they can. And don't talk about after that, because we don't like to talk about that. But it's coming, whether we like to talk about it or not. And when we get to the end of our lives, most of the things that we've worked for in the natural won't mean a thing in the world. I mean, nothing. We came with nothing and we leave with nothing. And all the hard work and all the effort and all the trouble comes to a big fat zero when we come to the end of life. There's a little poem that we learned years ago. It says, it goes something like this. Only what we've done, I forget some of the words now. I'm not great on poetry. But only that we've done for Christ will last. Nothing else. And so I want to talk a little bit with us this morning about that journey and how we encounter things. And so here's a storm that came up for these people. And right away, they started thinking about this journey. It says in verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, they were watching what was going on, and they were scared. They were scared. Everybody knows that if the boat fills up, what's going to happen next? And that's what they were looking at. There's a problem here, and we have a big problem. Verse 38, but he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I wonder how many times I have said that on my journey. I wonder if the Lord cares about me. Look at this. And look at that. And look what the people do. And look at what they don't do. And I mean, it can go on and on and on and on. And that's the first thought that came up to them. Well, Jesus is here. And he's not doing anything. He's in the storm with us, but he's not doing anything at all. And often we get to that place where we cry out and we deal with issues and we cry out to the Lord and we think, oh, he's not dealing with us in the storm. Now, here's what David says in one of the Psalms. He says, he is a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. And here is good advice just right at the beginning of the sermon. Don't question his love for you. Don't get to that point in your mind and in your thinking that as you battle the storms of life, that he doesn't care. Because he does. He does. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus cares about. And it's not always the same as what we care about. But he cares about us. And that's the thing to remember. Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, they had faith, but they had faith in the storm. They had faith in the trouble. And they were looking at this thing, and the boat's filling up, and they say, this thing's going to kill us. Really, our journey's not, we're not getting to the other side. We're just stopping right here in the middle. And they had their faith in the wrong thing. Now, we look back on this, and we can smile at their fear, and they were scared. And we look what Jesus was in the boat, why were you so scared? And we can scoff at that. Let me tell you, that was a real storm that they faced. And they were scared. They were scared. I can just hear old Thomas saying, maybe to Peter, I knew we should not have done this. I had a check in my spirit right here at the beginning, but I didn't want to say anything. Now look at us. Because when we get into the trouble, sometimes we begin to have second thoughts about our goals. Oh, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to end in life. This is what I want to accomplish in life. And we have goals that drive us. But when the storms come up, we can very well look back and say, well, you know what? I don't think so. I don't need these storms. I don't need all this trouble. I don't need all this nonsense. I don't need all of that. It's a lot easier to be just like everybody else and sit out there and have nothing to do with God and have a peaceful life. Well, that's fine. But it might not be a great ending. Life might not have that great an ending. The margin says here, have you still no faith? After all they saw in him and what he did and all the mighty works that he did and listened to him and realized that this is somebody special. This is from God. It can't be otherwise. When the storm rose up, they doubted. Have you still no faith? I sometimes, when something big hits me, one of these storms comes my way, then I look back at what I have come through. And I say to myself, you know what? There was that big storm, and I was convinced that thing was going to destroy me. But here I am. I don't know how I got through it, but God got me through. There was that day when I thought all was lost. This very thing that's so close to my heart is gone. And yet, when I look back today, he did show up. He did care, and he did help. Now, sometimes we don't feel like that in the middle of the storm. But let's not forget, even if we're in the storm, he does care. Now, here is their response to the storm. Great fear. Crying out. Shouting. Waking Jesus up. Here's Jesus' response to the storm. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. Because he knows his father cares. He's not going to respond in fear. And the problem was this, that fear and faith don't dwell together. You cannot have fear and have faith at the same time. You cannot move forward and backward at the same time. Because fear is also faith, but in the wrong thing. You're not moving forward if you're driven by fear. You're moving backward. In your faith walk. And so these people, these disciples, they were operating out of fear and not out of faith. And here's the lesson that we learn from them and this incident here, is that even if the storm comes, let's not give up the faith. You don't want to hear Jesus tell you, you have still not faith. After all these years that you've walked with me and you still don't have faith? What's wrong with you? You don't want to hear him to say that. No, we learn to put our faith in him and say, well, there is a storm. But I'm not going to look at the storm. I'm going to look at him. I'm going to do what he does. I copy him. I'm not going to be filled with fear. I'm going to do what he is doing. And I'm going to rest because Jesus is our rest. He has become our Sabbath. That's more than just a day of rest. It is a life of rest in him. Because now we know he does care. Even if we think he's asleep, he doesn't answer our prayers. I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I fast, and I do many things, and it doesn't seem like he's answering the prayer. Well, just wait a little bit. Because I've read in the Bible that that we need to emulate those who have received their promises through faith and patience. God is working behind the scenes where we don't see. We don't always see what he's doing. I know we love the miracles. I've seen miracles. Some of you have seen miracles. And it's wonderful when right away when you pray, here's the answer. It's wonderful. We still talk about this. Where's Wayne? There's Wayne. We still talk about the miracles we saw in China. I can't get over it. And I think, God, it's an amazing thing. The goodness of God. That you cared about people that we didn't even know. But we just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And look at what you've done. And I think about these things. And I say, well, God cares about people. He cares about you. And some of the people that we saw miracles didn't even know him. They were idol worshippers. And he still cared about them. There's nothing as powerful as the love of God. And I'll tell you, if you struggle with loved ones, let me tell you something. The love of God that is upon them is very, very powerful. And don't you underestimate that or question that by saying, I wonder if he cares. Oh, he does care about them. He does care about them. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Son of God and know him personally. How is it that you have no faith? That's the one thing that he wanted to know of them. How is it that you have no faith? How can we walk this walk? How can we go on this journey without faith in God to help us through the storms that come? And there will be storms. It's sad when we see people turn around and walk away from God because their journey ended before they went over to the other side. Before they arrived there, they just gave it up. It's tragic to see that. It's tragic to see that. And no storm is big enough to wipe out the power of God's care and love for you. No storm is big enough or strong enough to do that. His love and his care are much greater and powerful than any storm that can ever come your way. Now these were people that lived on the sea and they knew storms and so on, and they knew when it got dangerous. But what they didn't know was he had more power than the storm. Jesus had more power than the storm. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now that's a reverential fear. Suddenly, they realized something bigger, somebody bigger than the storm was right here with us. He is right here with us. And here's the good news. Somebody bigger than the storm that you are facing right now is with you. And he will take care of you. He will take care of you. I want to go to another storm. And that is in Matthew chapter 14. Sometimes we come through a storm and we think, ooh, thank God, that was wild. But we got through. And then just before you can relax, there's another one. And sometimes it seems like, you know, it's just storm upon storm about storm. You know, we seem to be doing nothing else than fighting. Chapter 14 and verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is after he fed the 5,000 men. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now that word contrary is something that we often experience when you walk with the Lord. There's a lot of things that are contrary to us. Now, remember, Jesus wants you to accomplish the purpose that God made you for. That's his dream. That's his goal. That we will become what he made us to be. That we will accomplish what he gave us to do. That's his dream. That we will have all that he wants us to have. That we become all that Jesus died for on the cross. That's his dream. The devil's dream is for you not to become any of that. He wants you to fail at life and to be miserable and turn your back on God. That's what he wants. And there's tension there. It's a tug of war that's going on in your lives. And we know that very well. And what the devil will do, he'll always send a storm. And if he cannot get you with a storm, he'll get you with a temptation. He'll come to something that he knows you love and you like and you would really, really, really want to have. And he'll give it to you. If he can persuade you to turn your back on God, he'll send you a temptation. If he can't get you with a bad thing, he'll get you with a good thing. And we need to be aware of both of them. We need to be alert. The Bible says, walk circumspectly, which means you need to look all around you all the time because the enemy is out there. Now, we're not conscious of him, but we need to be smart as we go through life. Remember that little life is very short. I once, after my father retired, he was sitting on the porch with one of my uncles, the two older gentlemen, and they were talking about how short life really was in their old age. And they spent a whole conversation on how short life really. They could not believe that they suddenly found themselves to be old people. And when I sat there listening to them, I was still very young. I think our one son was born, but we were still very young. And I thought, well, you know, they just forgot about all life and all of that. But I look back at life today and I say, you know what, that was very short. If the goals that God put into your life, if you want to accomplish that, you have to start early. You cannot wait till you're old. If you want to lay up treasures in heaven, you cannot wait till you're on your deathbed. You cannot wait till you have no strength anymore. You cannot wait with that. You need to start early because the dreams that God has are big dreams. Because God looks at the world and he says, there's a lot of people that are lost. And the only people I have to reach them are the ones that I have. And I have to expect much of them if we want to reach that goal. And so, yes, big dreams. And we need to be careful not to be distracted by the storms of life and the temptations of life. Because they will be there. They're time wasters. They're thieves of dreams and purpose. All these things that happen, distracting things, distractors that come our way. Distractions. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. somebody said, an airplane cannot take off unless it takes off in the wind. It has to have the wind contrary, against it. And sometimes we need that too. Don't think that you will accomplish your goals by just cruising along. Nothing's going to happen. When you want to go the easy road, I can guarantee you nothing will happen. If you're not willing to fight, you're not willing to stand against that wind, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Because the enemy that we have is a real enemy. But the good news is, the God we serve is a true God. And He will help us to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Now, verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now they have two problems. There's the storm, and now they're seeing something that they couldn't believe their eyes. It's somebody walking on the water. It's not natural. It must be a ghost. And obviously the ghost couldn't have good intentions with them. And they're scared. They're scared. They have two problems to deal with now. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. The margin in your Bible says, have good courage. Take courage. Take courage. Now this is what I want to say to you. If you're fighting battle today, take courage. Don't be filled with fear. Let go of the fear. Take courage. Take courage. Jesus is showing up. He did not come maybe in the form that they expected Him to come, and they feared what they saw, but it was Him. It was Him. Sometimes when God begins to move to help us out of our troubles, and He doesn't come in a way that we expected Him to come, we think it's a devil. And we begin to rebuke things. And we begin to fight against things. And what it really is, God is moving toward us to come and help us. And sometimes we're a little too quick to get busy with the devil. And start rebuking the devil. He had nothing to do with it. The big thing is not to watch what's going on, but to just put our trust in Him. And say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. This doesn't look good, but what I do know is God will take care of the situation. God will take care of me. I'm scared, but I know God will take care of me. And I am now going to let go of this fear. I'm going to put my trust in Him and rest in Him. Fear will always make you do things that you regret later on. Silly things. When you begin to operate in fear and in panic, that's when we do silly things. But when we put our trust in Him and we leave it to Him to take care of us, then He gets all the glory. Now, verse 28, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water. So He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. And see, here's what we always talk about. We need to learn to look past the circumstances and look to Him. Don't see the storm, see Him. Don't look at the news report. Look at His report. Listen to what He says. Then all will be well. Listen to what He says. Let's put our faith in Him. And look past the storm. Here's the problem with them in both these situations. They were fixing their eyes on the storm. Oh, and I tell you, when we begin to look at the trouble, we can magnify things and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and become so filled with fear and unbelief and have no faith in God. I tell you, when you have gone to that point where you filled your heart with so much fear, it's very hard to muster up some faith. And only faith in God will calm the storm. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Because God responds to our faith in Him. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him. That's after he sank. And caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus wanted him to walk on the water to have that experience. He wanted him to do that. And he did it until he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the waves and looked at the wind. And that's where he sank. That's where he sank. Listen, we cannot fail if we fix our hope on Him. But we cannot fix our eyes on the storm. We have to learn to look past the circumstances and say, it will all be well because He is in the boat. He's in the boat. We live in a day, I don't know if you watch the news, if you know what's going on in the world, but there's a lot of bad news coming. This past week, the Prime Minister of England was here. Have you noticed that? He spoke to he addressed our parliament. And in his speech, he made mention of the economic troubles of the world. Our own Prime Minister and Minister of Finance made speeches about that. We see the head of the International Monetary Fund making speeches about the economic troubles of the world. Everybody's talking about it. Listen. There's a storm coming up. I want to tell you there is a storm coming up. But this is not the time to respond to the storm. This is the time to respond to what Jesus said. This is the time to build your faith and fix your hope on Him. This is not a time to look at what the world is doing and respond like they do. Let me tell you something. Jesus came and He saved us so that we could be different from the world. If we live like the world lives, then He died for nothing. But we are people who have experienced His presence, we've experienced His life, and we are different from what the world is. And this is the time for us to rise up and shine brightly because of the hope that is in us. Oh, there's a storm brewing, all right. And there was a storm on the lake, those two occasions, but they didn't die. They did not drown. No harm came to them. It was a big threat, but nothing happened. And we have learned, listen, especially if you've been here a long while in this church, then you know we have seen things come and go and come and go, and it did not touch us. Because we have determined to put our faith in Him and we will not fail, we will win. And maybe you fight your own personal storm today. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. God will bail you out if you put your hope on Him. And maybe you look around you and say, this thing has gone too far. Nothing has gone too far for Him to help you. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, see if you're in the faith. And this is a time for us to rise up strong and high and say, we are people who put our trust in God, and we will not respond to the bad news. We will respond to the good news because the gospel is good news, and the bad news will not overwhelm the good news. Darkness will not overpower light. Light always wins. There's not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of one candle. And the gospel is good news. And the good news is there when there's bad news in the world. If there's good news in the world, then you don't need other good news. But there's bad news in the world. We need the good news now. We need to be people of good news right now. And so, verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, they were in the same situation twice. Twice they were on the lake, maybe many times, but they were on the lake when there was a storm. Both times they were scared. Both times things didn't look good. But both times Jesus came and helped them. Both times they had little faith or no faith because they were filled with fear. Both those times. And even though they had little faith or no faith, Jesus still helped them because he cared. He cared. And sometimes we can make faith a condition, but here's what we need to understand. These disciples had little faith or no faith. Their faith walk was terrible. It was terrible. These people walked with him. They saw him. They saw the miracles. They heard his voice. They were there with him all the time, and they doubted. But the good news is, even though they doubted, Jesus still cared. Here's what brings victory. Get Jesus in your boat. If he is in your boat, you will win. Just his presence with you will bring you the victory. You cannot afford to start this journey without him in your life. Because when the storm comes, who's going to help you? And it may be a big storm that's a little bigger than your faith is. But the good news is, if he is with you, here's his promise. I'm with you till the end. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And we talk about faith and we learn a lot about faith. And we know faith is to put our trust in him. Our faith is to judge him faithful. We know all of that. We know the definitions of all of that. Here's the big thing. If Jesus is with you, you'll always win. He will always win. You cannot go through life without him. Don't think, I am a skilled fisherman. I'm skilled at life. I've been at this all my life. I know how to handle things. These people did too. And they were scared to death. If it wasn't for Jesus in the boat, they would have sunk probably. They probably would have died. Walking, the faith walk, you cannot do without walking with Jesus in person. You need to be conscious of his presence all the time because you don't know when that storm is hitting. You don't know when trouble comes. All can seem okay. And suddenly, things change. Suddenly, things change. Life-altering things change. People are scared to change their lifestyles. They're scared to let go of their comforts and things. But you know, all you need is one storm, and it'll all be gone. And the changes you refuse to make will be made for you, which is hard, very hard. But you can win through all of this if you walk with him. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus. But we are getting into days and times that are very strange. I don't know if you noticed that. But this is not a time to know about him. This is a time to know him. This is not a time to just talk about him. This is not a time to just have a Christian culture. This is a time for an intimate walk with him. because the storms of life are getting more intense by the day. And big challenges are coming. And let me tell you, Jesus is coming for a glorious church. It will not hit the church. It will not come to the church. We will be in victory. But it won't be because we know about Him. It'll be because we know Him. There's a personal relationship there. There's fellowship there. There's conversation there. There's communion there. There's a connection there that is unbroken. And that is where the victory comes. That is where the victory comes from. Oh, you can sit there in the middle of the boat and you can bring all the definitions of faith and you can bring all your Bible knowledge that you have. But if you don't know Him, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Jesus spoke to the scribes of His day and He said, you search the scriptures. And because you think in them you'll find eternal life. He says, but then you, and those are which talk of me. But you don't come to me. You don't come to me. You just love to search the scriptures. But the scriptures tell you about me, but then you have to come to me. It's that personal relationship that makes the difference. Now, here's how we go through a storm. First of all, don't look at the waves. Don't look at the waves. There will always be waves. There will always be waves. Sometimes it comes right up to here. And you say, don't make waves. Just don't make waves. And things don't look good. Don't pay attention to the waves. Don't pay attention to the wind. Because if you do, fear will fill your heart. And if fear filled your heart, the devil has a foothold in your life. Fear is of the devil. Faith is in God. Fear is faith in the devil. And so we need to look past the circumstances and say, I know this is rough. I know this is wild. I know this doesn't look good. I hear what's going on. I hear what people say. But I've got Jesus with me. Don't look at the waves. Second thing is, don't allow fear to come into your heart. Don't allow fear. When fear comes in, that's the thing you deal with. Then you forget about the waves and forget about everything. But you have to get fear out of your life. Take good courage instead. Take good courage. When Paul was in a shipwreck, and that was very bad too. And they were throwing all the tackle overboard and everything else overboard to make the ship lighter, the boat. And he took courage. And he encouraged the people around him. He says, take courage. The God that I serve, an angel of my God, stood by me this night and he said, all will be fine. It'll all be, and eat something. So you'll be strong. Don't allow fear, but take courage. Because with courage, you could win. But with fear, you'll always lose. The next thing is, have Jesus in your boat. We used to sing a chorus in Sunday school. With Christ in the vessel, I will smile at the storm. And it becomes a cliche. And a lot of people sing that, you know, and so, but when the storm comes, they forget all about that. You know, we're quick to turn things to big truths into cliches, and then it loses its power. But you have to have Christ in the vessel. You have to walk with Him. You have to walk with Him. Because if He is with you, you'll never fail. You will always win. Because He has been victorious and is victorious today. And He is with you and He cares. Cares about you. He does care about you. And we make our plans, and I believe we should make our plans. But let's never leave Him out of our plans. Let's make Him part of the plan. and let's cross over to the other side. Let's all say, I will accomplish my goal. I will finish strong. I will fulfill my purpose. Amen. That little hyphen between the two dates, it's going to be a glorious little hyphen. We're going to look back one day if we have the privilege of being able to do so and say, it was good to be here. It was good to be here. Yes, we had the storms. We had those storms. And we had all these things. But it was good to be here. You know, when I look at Jesus in John chapter 17, let's go there. We're close to that. John chapter 17. He came to the end of his life on earth. John 17, read from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. This is the verse that I want us to engrave in our hearts and minds today. Verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I would like to say that. When I get to the end, I will say, I glorified you. Look, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I would love to be able to say that. I finished the work you gave me to do. Nothing else to do. I'm ready to go. I finished the work, not the work that I did for myself. I finished the work that you gave me to do. I finished it. Dr. Miles Monroe says, we need to die empty. No more dreams. No more dreams. I fulfilled them all. I fulfilled them all. I have gone over to the other side, where I fulfilled all my dreams, accomplished my purpose, and finished the work that God gave me to do. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. There's some more that I want to say, but we'll stop there for now. But you know, let's glorify Him on earth. Let's live in such a way that we can end like Jesus did. The Apostle Paul, also at the end of his life, he said, I fought the good fight. And then he said, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. That's big. After what he went through, that's big. I've kept the faith. And it further is laid out for me, the crown. Praise God. That is the real wealth and riches. Because that little hyphen is short, but eternity is long. And I want to encourage us today, don't look at the waves, look at the other side, where we're going. Look at the goals. Let's fix your eyes on the goal and win. That's what Jesus did. He didn't pay attention to the cross. He looked past the cross. He looked at the joy that was set before him of a life that was spent in obedience to God and what he accomplished through that. Let's close your eyes. Father, I believe that every one of us thinks about life today a little bit. That little hyphen, the journey that we're on, And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and minister to us individually and personally and intimately today. Sometimes we just bulldoze through life. We just roll on like steamrollers without thinking where we're going. But today I pray that we will stand still and think about this journey that we're on. And we will glorify you. We'll glorify you. And thank you for the victory. Thank you that you're with us. And thank you that you care. That we find ourselves today in your care. And therefore, we are well able to win. We bless you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.